Let us now turn for a little to the portion read, the chapter in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14, and we shall read from verse 14, Proverbs 14, verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The words that we would seek to consider together are the words at the beginning of the verse. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And here we have the description of one who is not in a healthy spiritual state. That should be obvious when he is described as a backslider. But we read, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And what I want to do is consider simply, first of all, how backsliding begins. How it begins, because backsliding is a very subtle and a very deceitful process, as the Word of God makes it known to us. What does backsliding actually mean? There are many references in Scripture to backsliding, and God never ever approves of it, even though he says to Israel of old, they were to repent when they were backslidden, because God said in his covenant, I am married to the backslider. And so the Lord drew his backslidden people back to himself. But nevertheless, we are warned again and again in Scripture about such a condition and such a process. When, for example, we go over to the epistle to the Hebrews in the third chapter there in Hebrews. We Hebrews chapter 3, I should say. We read there in the verse 12, we read that we are to be ever watchful against the very beginning of backsliding. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, brethren. Now you can see the epistle is written to Hebrew believers. They are addressed here as brethren. They belong to the household of faith. They are the children of God, and the author is addressing them as his Christian brethren, his brethren by faith. But this is the warning that is issued. Take heed, brethren. There are things that those who are true brethren, who are true believers, they need to be warned about. And they need to take heed to certain things. And this is what we read. Take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now take heed, brethren, because this can happen. There may be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Now you would immediately think, well, this is strange. Aren't the brethren those who believe? Aren't they brethren because they believe? The apostle says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief that is in the heart. Unbelief that is actually hidden. Unbelief that is secret. Unbelief in the heart. That's where we have to look if we give heed to this warning. It's a warning about something beginning to develop internally, and it is in the heart. The heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed, brethren, that your heart does not begin to depart from the living God. You outwardly don't appear to be departing. Outwardly, things may be as normal. No one would have any inclination there's anything wrong. And yet, here's the warning. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Any of you. No one is here warranted to think they're beyond this. I have so many years of experience. I am so well grounded in the truth. I am so knowledgeable. It couldn't happen to me. What does the apostle say? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Doesn't matter who you are. In any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now you might think, well, surely such a warning isn't even necessary. If anyone's departing from the living God, won't it be very obvious? Well, the warning is issued because it isn't so obvious again and again. In the book of Proverbs that we're in the chapter 4, we read there in verse 23, this exhortation. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence. We might think, well, wouldn't it be sufficient for us if it's the Holy Spirit who's addressing us? Wouldn't it be sufficient if he would say, keep thy heart? We would know what we have to do. But he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, meaning we're to be consistent, we are to be watchful, and we are to keep the heart, guarding it. As you remember the keeper of the prison, what did he do with Paul and Silas? He made their feet fast in the stocks. He was intent on keeping them, that they would not escape, that there was no way they could free themselves. That's the kind of keeping we have here. Now, this tells us something then about the value of the condition of the heart. Be watching the heart continually. Be examining the heart continually. Be guarding it, be keeping it, be guarding it from evil influences. Be guarding it against the intrusion of any object of affection. This is what here we are warned to do. Now, why is this? Because, as we come back to our text, the backslider in heart. Where does backsliding begin? It begins internally. It begins in the heart. And if we don't keep it, then it will begin. If we're not taking heed to the warning, lest an evil heart of unbelief departs from the living God, if we pay no attention to these matters, well, then we will end up in a backslidden state and condition. Now, the question is, not just how does backsliding begin, but what or who is a backslider? Immediately we have to know, as soon as we hear that expression, backsliding, or backslidden, or backslider, we know there's something in the conduct, the behavior about going back. You see, the fact of the matter is every child of God, no child of God remains in a static state spiritually. That's impossible. If we're not going forward, we're going backwards. It's as simple as that. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. And there's no in-between, as it were. Every time we turn to the Word of God, no matter where we turn, Paul was always encouraging the believers to be making progress. They were to grow in grace, Peter says. They were to improve. They were to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if they're not growing, there's something amiss. And the reality is, if we're not growing, in reality, it's because we're actually backsliding. And you can see how this comes about, for example, in the prophecy of Isaiah, or Jeremiah, should say, chapter 7. The Lord is addressing his people through the prophet, verse 21 of Jeremiah 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well unto you. If you don't walk in my ways, it's not going to go well with you. That's what God was saying. It won't go well if you don't obey me, if you don't walk in my ways, it will not go well with you. But, verse 24 is the important verse. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You see what's happening? They hearken not, nor inclined their ear. They didn't listen to God. And they walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart. What do we read? The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. He'll be very confident in his own thinking, his own reasoning, his own counsels, his own imagination. And they went backward, God says, and not forward. Now, this, as we said, backsliding begins in the heart. That's why it's so subtle, so deceitful, because the same prophet Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things. Well, if backsliding begins in that kind of a heart, if it begins in the source of deceit, backsliding itself is going to be deceitful. And it will deceive ourselves, but it will deceive others around us. And this is why we must give heed to what is written here. The backslider in heart, what do we read? He shall be filled with his own ways, not God's ways, but because his heart is departing from God, He's filled with his own ways, filled with his own thoughts, filled with his own imaginations, and he is following the ways of a deceitful heart. The backslider in heart, as we said, he may be able to deceive, he may be able to impress those around and even himself or herself. I'm not really backslidden. And maybe not what I should be, but I'm not really backslidden. But there's one thing, you see, backsliding is extremely dangerous, although it is different to apostatizing. Sometimes we find someone and we regrettably have to acknowledge he or she has apostatized from the truth. They've forsaken the truth. They deny the truth. They've turned their back upon it. They willingly, deliberately reject the truth. Now, although very often apostasy and apostatizing from God and his truth, it begins with what appears to be merely backsliding. And backsliding can lead to apostatizing. But although the apostate, he deliberately or she deliberately abandons the truth and forsakes it, the genuine backslider can't do that. That is one thing they cannot do. Their conscience won't allow them to do it. Because deep down they know. They know that they will come to know that they're filled with their own ways, and that's their problem, and they know deep down what the truth is. They cannot forsake it. They may not obey it. They may not conform to it, but they simply can't forsake it because of the reality of a work of grace. And when they're backslidden, God calls them back to repentance and back to where they began to depart from the living God. Now, I believe that because backsliding is in the deceitful heart, it will find ways and means to keep that state and condition hidden. And it may be hidden for years. And there are men, and they may be in office in the church, and they're backslidden. They may be preachers of the word, and they're backslidden. There may be many members in a congregation, and they're backslidden. But you see, because of the knowledge they have of the truth, because of the upbringing they've had, the teaching they've experienced, the truth is theoretically in their minds. And the backslider is therefore in a position to stand up and pray a very impressive prayer. A backslidden minister can stand in the pulpit and preach a very orthodox sermon. And yet, no one detects there's something wrong in that man's heart. Because, you see, the backslider is backsliding, the source of the backsliding is hidden. But there is something that we must understand, when we think of backsliding, what do we think of? Anyone of whom this is true, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. If they are brought to their senses, and they begin to think of their condition, they begin to examine themselves, they begin to take heed to the word of God, and they begin to reflect and they come to the conclusion, I am backslidden. And then they'll ask, but how did I get here? How come I've arrived in this state? And they might think to themselves, well, when I look back, I can't think of any great crisis, any outstanding event, any great step that I took that started me in this backsliding experience. You see, if we were to be going back, there's several ways to do it. We could walk back. Step by step, we could go back. But we're not talking about the one who's backstepping or stepping backwards. We're talking about the backslider. Sliding. Not stepping, so that you can measure the steps. Here is someone, and they've taken a step out of the way, and then another step, and another step, and you can trace the steps one by one. But we're talking about sliding, not stepping. And so you see, this is something that is persistent. You can't measure it. It's happening. Just slipping, 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 slipping. That's what it is. And therefore, this is why we are to be constantly guarding our hearts and examining ourselves. Am I slipping? Am I slipping? I'm not going far away from the truth. I'm not walking away from the means of grace. I'm not walking away from the Word of God. I'm not walking away from God even. I'm not taking large steps off into the world. I'm not taking great steps off into my sin. But this is the thing that we have to ask ourselves, is there any slipping? Just slipping. Very gradual. But very steadily slipping. And that's what here we are told of the backslider. The backslider in heart. Something's going on inside. No one sees it. No one notices it. And we can engage, you see, even in the work of the service of God. Very often backsliders are hidden behind religious living, religious activities. You see, the backslider isn't an apostate, as we said. He hasn't abandoned God and the truth. He keeps involved. Or she keeps involved. But the heart is not where it should be. And the heart is not in the condition that it should be in. And therefore, when the apostle writes, take heed, brethren, what do we take heed to? We go and we examine our hearts and we inquire. Is there any slipping? Is there any slipping? And we might be well able to say and honestly say it upon examining ourselves. I haven't gone off into the world. I maintain certain standards of conduct and behavior. I still pray. I still enjoy reading my Bible. I love the church and I want to be useful in it and I want to make a contribution to maintaining God's cause and the gospel cause and so on. And yet, upon an honest examination, it's just a little slipping. Slipping here and a little slipping there. And it's sliding slowly, maybe. Hardly noticeable. Hardly noticeable at all, but it's happening. That is why, as we read, how important it is, as we read, keep thy heart with all diligence, the keeper of the prison, the keeper of the fortress. He dare not sleep. He dare not sleep on duty. It is his business. It is his duty. It is his calling to keep a careful watch. And this is what we're told, keep thy heart. Now, if we were honest, even now, as we're sitting here in the service now, and we might think, well, we do examine ourselves occasionally, and we are concerned about our spiritual condition, and even at times we're a bit concerned about it. But day by day, how much attention do we give to the heart? We might give attention to our religious exercises. That is not the same as giving attention to the condition of the heart. What is the condition of my heart? Am I in my heart and in my affections slipping and departing from the living God? I'm not far from the living God. I'm not miles from him. I haven't gone off into the depths of worldly pleasure and activity. But you see, it's just going a little and then a little and sliding gradually until someday we suddenly discover I'm far from what I ought to be. And I'm far from what I used to be. I've gone a far bit back. I don't know how it has come about in reality, but I have to acknowledge when I look back, it was just a little thing here and a little thing there, a little sliding here, a little slipping there, and gradually now here I am in a backslidden state. This is what we are warned about. Now, we are told that the backslider in heart is recognized by this. He shall be filled with his own ways. He shall be filled with his own ways. Now, wouldn't you think, if you're spiritually exercised, wouldn't you think that someone who's backslidden would feel very empty? Now, wouldn't you think that? They must feel empty because they're not real. And they must feel an emptiness. But what we're told is this, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. What does that mean? Well, it means a number of things. First of all, it means spirit of selfishness, the thoughts, the actions, they're centered around self. He shall be filled with his own ways. And therefore, there is no reason to acknowledge there's anything wrong. There's no reason to lament that I'm in a sorry state, because I'm filled with my own ways. And I'm full of my own notions, and I'm full of my own opinions. This, you see, is what we're warned about. And this is the question then we have to ask. Is there any evidence in me of backsliding, any slipping? Where is self? Is it coming more to the fore, or has it been hidden behind? My desires. I shall be filled with my own ways. I'm very wise. I'm very capable. I'm very positive. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And we are told, we read it, in this very chapter, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, and the backslider thinks that he is warranted to defend his position, to argue his case, to profess that everything is fine. He shall be filled with his own ways, and therefore he will be very, very difficult to convince. He's filled with his own ways, his own arguments, his own excuses. That's what happens. You go over to the book of Exodus, where the children of Israel, and they've just come out of Egypt, and you can see how quickly backsliding from God can develop. Going back to the 15th chapter of Exodus, the children of Israel have experienced a mighty deliverance. They've been brought out of Egypt. And in Exodus 15, we read verse 20. Miriam, that's the sister of Moses and Aaron. Verse 20, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. What's she saying? We ought to sing because of what God has done for us. We ought to sing. Now this is in verse 21, and then she goes on about what the Lord has done. And all we have to do is go to verse 24. And what do we read? And the people murmured. Miriam said, sing. And they said, no, we'll murmur. When they had reason to be praising God and rejoicing in his goodness and his mighty deliverance, they started to murmur. And that murmuring increases. And you can see when we go into chapter 16 of Exodus, it just gets worse. Verse 2 of chapter 16, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They started in verse 23, murmured against Moses. Then when we get to chapter 16, verse 2, their murmuring is increasing. Now it's against Moses and Aaron. Then we go down to verse 7 of chapter 16. In the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. You see what happens? Start off murmuring against Moses, then Moses and Aaron, then Moses and Aaron and the Lord, and they're murmuring again in verse 8, The end of this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. Now you know what murmuring is. When you're murmuring, you're not going round with a loudspeaker. You're murmuring in discontent. You're murmuring, and very often it's even internal. It's not vocalized, but it's murmuring. And this is here what was happening. They were murmuring. And as they complained about one thing, it led on to complaining and murmuring about something else. And then in verse 8, we read what, verse 8, for the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. He hears it. Even if you don't vocalize it, he hears it. And what are we? Our murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Verse 9 then, the end of it, he hath heard your murmurings. You go down to verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, and so on. You go into chapter 17. You find of another reason for murmuring. The people, verse 3, thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and so on. Now, when they should have been rejoicing, they had been so blessed by God. He delivered them mightily. And Miriam is singing, and she's calling on the woman and the congregation of Israel to sing, to be glad in the Lord. And what do they do? Instead of singing, and they'd reason to sing, they begin to think, no, we have reason to murmur. We have lots of things to complain about. And God says, I've heard your murmuring. In spite of everything I've done for you, you're murmuring, you're complaining, you're ungrateful, you're haughty and arrogant, and you're murmuring against me. In the book of Numbers, the children of Israel are progressing toward the promised land. And in chapter 11 of Numbers 1, we read, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Oh my. We need to be very careful, because God was not pleased when they were complaining about the way he was leading them. And how he was providing for them. They wanted God to do things their way. And God was doing things his way. And they didn't like it. And so they complained. And how careful we need to be not to complain about the way God does things. And yet we're ready to do it, because the truth is sometimes there's backsliding in the heart. And like Israel, we become filled with our own ways. And because we're filled with our own ways, we haven't place for God's ways. And the thing is, God's ways are not our ways. And when we're filled with our own ways, there's going to be a collision between God and ourselves. And the backslider shall be filled with his own ways. And because that is so, then this is the danger, and I have found this again and again and again. The backslider always tries to justify himself or herself. And you know what happens? because the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. He can't see his own wrong, or she can't see her problem. It's always someone else's to blame. It was because of what he did that I'm in the state I'm in. It's because of what she said or the way she acted that I'm in the state I'm in. If they hadn't done that to me, I wouldn't be like this. If they hadn't spoken to me, I wouldn't be like this. If they hadn't done this, if they hadn't done that, I'd be a different person. But you see, the backsliding is not because of circumstances. It's not because of scenarios in providence. It's because something's amiss in the heart. The backslider in heart. That's the problem. And the thing is, the world can come in, sweeping in, and we're not aware of it. We just get a little bit more interested. We start moving slightly in that direction. And you know how we think? You know how the backslider thinks? There's no harm in it. That's what we think. There's no harm in it. Won't do me any harm. Will it do me any good? That's the real question. And many, many Christians become ensnared and trapped because little by little, there's no harm in this, there's no harm in that, there's no harm in this, and that will not harm me, and I don't think this will harm me. And bit by bit, the heart is moving away in the wrong direction. Just sliding a little upon little away. The backslider in heart. That is one of the reasons then, this evening we're all duty bound to examine ourselves. Are we keeping the heart, or are we letting it slip? Are we letting it go? Is the world dragging it away? The things of the world, our worldly pleasures, worldly concerns, drawing it away, and we're unaware of it. It's just a little here and a little there, but gradually we're going in the wrong direction. And we have this duty to keep our hearts diligently. And to be warned lest in any of us, as none of us here inside these walls can think, we're exempt, it doesn't apply to us. We wouldn't backslide. No, no, we couldn't backslide. We're so firmly fixed in the truth, our hearts are so steadfastly fixed in Christ, it couldn't happen to us. We have to stop and just look. Is there any sliding? Is there any slipping? Because the evil heart of unbelief is a very deceitful heart. And because of that deceit, we need to be on guard. And every one of us might have to, on occasions, acknowledge, I am allowing things to slip. I am allowing things to slide. And the red light is warning us, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And when that happens, it is very dangerous, because there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Keep thy heart diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. May God bless his word.